We are still in our study on Daniel chapter 1, and this is, we will finish out the chapter in this one study. Let's bow our heads. God Almighty, come and make yourself known. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Equip your servant to serve your people in the teaching and the expounding of the Word of God today. Give us all understanding. Add to our understanding, and God, I ask that you would just keep us, Lord, in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go ahead and dive in verses. I'm going to read 8 through 15 for you. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. So Daniel, we see that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now remember, I told you there are other Hebrews who were taken. I believe that also Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they also felt the same way. And Daniel was speaking for all of them when he does this. He's talking for all of them. They've been captured. And so when I say Daniel in this, I am including these three in case I don't mention them. So don't get disturbed by that. But Daniel has purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel has been captured by a godless king. He's walked approximately 1,000 miles to his place of captivity to never to return home. He's seen all kind of strange sights, hearing all kind of strange things. He comes as a young man, remember, around 14 or 16 years of age, and will spend the entirety of his days on earth in a pagan, idol-worshipping land. His life will be to serve the king who destroyed his home, family, country, his beloved temple, and made him a eunuch. How could Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah purpose in their hearts this, to keep their faith in God given over to a conqueror? And Daniel, when he records this, this is what he writes. Daniel understands that this was God's hand, that God had allowed this. That, listen, they purposed within their heart, even though all of this was given over, at the changing of their name, the changing of their location, forcing them, learning to learn a new language, being schooled by all of these godless people. This could not change who they were. Because when they purposed in their hearts not to defile themselves, this is where you find hope. Listen to this. God himself gave them the strength and courage that was needed for this. God is their strength. God was not left in the temple. When they walked that 1,000 miles, God was with them. He was with them when they were made eunuchs. He was with them when they walked in to this land. He was with them when they changed their names. He's with them standing there. Listen, God waits for us to stand for him, that he may show himself strong in you. God was waiting. He was waiting for them. God gave Nebuchadnezzar Jerusalem, the people, the items, the temple. God gave. God was not conquered. God is not conquered. God cannot be conquered. God had a purpose for Daniel's life. You may think, what kind of purpose, what kind of life is that? In all things, what Satan means for evil, God uses for our good and for his glory. Satan did not come in and conquer this country in the sense that they were taken away. God allowed it because of their sin, because of them following Satan and his demons. Because of that, God said no. So he took them and he allowed this to happen. But even in that, he's still there working for their good. He's still for those who will turn to him. It is hard to sum this up. When you think about what has happened, how many people would just fall down, lose their faith and their hope in God, and say, how can God leave me and desert me at this time? God doesn't leave those who are for him and who take a stand and who purpose in their heart, no matter what is going on, no matter what is happening around them, no matter if they change your name or move your location or take you out of your church. God is with those to whom he has redeemed. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah apparently had parents who most likely were part of Josiah's revival. When Josiah was ruling and reigning, their parents most likely, they had a revival also. And they taught these young men the word of God. Revival brings life. That's what it means. Revival, come to life. Revival prepares you for a life of service. And where that service is, God knows. When God comes in and brings revival into your heart, he gives you light and he puts his hand upon you. Your life belongs to him. And you go and you serve where he sends you. And where he was sending Daniel was to Nebuchadnezzar's palace. These young men were but a few, remember, taken in that siege. There were many. The best and the brightest by the king's determination was brought, and of them he determined the brightest and best to be brought to the palace to serve him. And I want to insert here so that you will understand this, that Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel were contemporaries of each other. They were contemporaries of each other. Jeremiah was left in Jerusalem along with the poor. Jeremiah was a prophet before and after the siege of Babylon. Ezekiel was with the other captives, not in the palace, but with the Hebrews in the designated dwelling place where they had taken them. Ezekiel prophesied to the captives. He had visions and used signs by God and taught them in parables. Daniel was in the palace. Daniel is in government to influence leaders. His influence brought the Magi to Bethlehem to see Jesus Christ hundreds of years later. So you see, God always has a voice. God always has a voice. You have Jeremiah who remained in Jerusalem with the poor that were left there. And he continued. He continued to prophesy until he died. Ezekiel, he was taken and he's down by the riverbanks, remember, and he has all the visions, the wheel and the wheel. Ezekiel is there speaking to the people. Even though they still have false prophets in there, but he's speaking God's word to them. And Daniel is in government. God puts his people in all walks of life, remember that. We have been told in God's written word that tribulation, great tribulation, judgment is coming. God sent us warnings through his servants for years. He had been telling them and been telling them. He told Ezekiel through Isaiah. He told Jeremiah. Jeremiah, listen, everyone was against Jeremiah. They didn't want to hear this. They did not want to hear this. When revival came under Josiah, and the nation for a season seemed to change, Jeremiah continued with his messages. And what did they want to do with him? They wanted to put him in a pit. Jeremiah had one of those disheartening ministries. God has sent us warnings through his servants for years. You hear those and they're like, I don't want to hear them. They're too negative. They're too negative. They're not giving me anything positive. They say all these bad things. All these things are going to happen. Well, they've been saying that for years. Nothing has happened. You think it's going to happen suddenly, but it isn't. If you've been hearing these warnings for years, it's been out on the horizon, getting closer and closer. Siege is being laid against the people of God, now as it was then. Listen, God can do nothing but judge this nation. Are we taking our roles and our calling as serious as these young men's parents did in teaching their children? Are you the product of a revived life? Some will not see this fulfilled. Some will be captured to live in compounds and designated areas. Some will be taken to the highest offices to serve. Will you be able to stand and not defile yourself in the days to come? Will your sons and daughters be able to stand and not defile themselves in the days to come? The enemy of your soul has been building his army. He has an arsenal, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I want to read 2 Timothy to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. But know this, that in the last days, we're living in the last days, last moments, last minutes, perilous times will come. And what does that mean? It means times of stress. Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What did I tell you? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That is what is coming against you and your children today. The enemy is taking multitudes today. Those who purpose in their hearts, God is with you, just like he was with Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He will give to you the strength and courage that you need. Look also at what else he gave Daniel. In verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Daniel wasn't able to do this on his own. He needed the favor. And so God had put it in the heart of this eunuch who was over him to give him favor. Daniel requested, he did not demand. When you read this, I want you to remember, he was respectful. As Americans in our society, we think we have to demand everything. We are pushy and we want to have our rights and all of that. We see that with all of this, all of the things that have happened, Daniel has just accepted all three of the young men. They've just accepted these things. But right here, why did he draw the line with his captors concerning food and drink? Why? Moving him to a foreign land, that doesn't stop Daniel from worshiping God or following him. Removing Daniel from the temple, the priests, and his family did not stop him from worshiping God. He did not need the things. He had a heart given over to the Lord. He loved God. And so I want to know, without the trappings of a church building, can you still worship? Can you do that in your home? Can you do that in a small group? Or do you need a multitude? Do you need a band that plays so that you can sing? Or can you sing a cappella? Can you sing with one guitar or with a piano? Can you sing to the Lord with just a few? Or do you need a multitude so that your emotions will swell and rise according to the music? According to the fog machines that they have going, the lights that are flashing, and all of the people being moved with their energy, do you need that crowd to get you motivated to sing to the Lord? If all of that is removed, can you still continue to worship the Lord? Can you stand? But none of this was going to change Daniel. Changing his name didn't change who he was. It didn't stop Daniel from loving his God, studying their art and their literature, their language, their customs, their laws. This does not stop Daniel from worshiping God. He loved God. Do you love God? When you go off to college or you go off to the university, do you then throw out everything that you have known about God and receive everything they have? Let me tell you what Daniel did. Daniel studied everything that he was required to. Because this, listen, it's not a choice. His parents weren't paying for this university, for this school, for this education. The king was paying for this. The king was demanding this. And Daniel and those young men, they knew what this king was like. They had seen what this king was capable of. And so they knew. But when they studied it, can you study it and then and maintain who you are? So as you study it, you see it for what it is. And you know it for what it is. But it doesn't change you. All it does is cause you to love the Lord more if you can see what they are teaching you. Now, they can teach you 2 plus 2 is 4, and that doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. It still equals 4. They can teach you about colors. They can teach you their language. That's not the only thing they were teaching them. They were teaching them their culture. But everything they were filtering through the Word of God, filtering through God and God's laws. But to eat the food and drink the wine that has been presented to a demon in honor of that demon, to acknowledge demons. What the king did, his food was presented. It was presented up. It was shared with demons, and he received it, and then he would give it to others. And so you were having fellowship. You were eating with that demon, partaking of it, and acknowledging your worship. This was worship. This is when the Antichrist comes, and when it is demanded that you take the mark of his name in honor of him, you will have to take that mark. And taking that mark is worshiping him. And basically, that's what this is here, to eat at that table, was to worship Nebuchadnezzar's gods. And Daniel said no. It was taking that food and drinking that wine was to give your worship and gratitude for your food and life to a demon god. No, Daniel was told not to eat the food offered to idols, to demons. This is what Daniel had been taught. And Daniel would not bow to an idol in the form of his meal. With respect, Daniel asked the chief of the eunuchs to excuse him from this one thing. And when the chief of the eunuchs expressed to Daniel, he said, "I'm afraid of the king. I'm afraid of the king because, listen, this king can take my life. He doesn't have to have an act of Congress. He doesn't have to have a judge and a jury to pass this law. He is law, and he can take my life. If you're only provided vegetables and water for these young men," the chief eunuch knew that they would become skinny and deprived looking. Listen, people who go on the Daniel diet and all of this stuff, you can lose weight, but you're not going to be healthy, and you're not going to look healthy. Because remember, the Hebrews did eat meat. And later, I believe that Daniel does eat meat. When he has his own home, and he's in his own home, and he has his own servants, because he will have his own servants, he can have food prepared however he likes. But right now, he has no say-so over it. And if they had only eaten, when it says vegetables, it's talking about like lentils and beans and things like that, and water. And that's all you have for 3 years? You're going to be some kind of skin and bones. And that would not be acceptable to the king. He would not have someone in there looking anorexic, standing before him or standing in his court when he has other dignitaries there and he's trying to impress people. They would not look healthy. They would be weak. So if you go on the Daniel diet, you will lose weight, lots of it. And that's how you're going to look. You're not going to look healthy. But Daniel asked that they be tested for 10 days. So he put this proposal to him. This is the wisdom of the Lord, because he's going to give Daniel favor with them. And after 10 days, then you do as you see fit and deal with your servants. Folks, this is all God. They are in Babylon because God gave them over. Nebuchadnezzar did not conquer God, nor God's people. God gave them to them. He gave them everything that he took. He gave them the people that he took. God gave Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah favor with the chief eunuch. How amazing is our God. I want to read verse 15 again in Daniel. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacy. This is God. These young men are better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's table. In doing this miracle for Daniel, God was also establishing Daniel in his superior's eyes. And God was making himself known to Daniel and them in a foreign pagan land. Listen, right here, these four young men, they knew that God was with them. The favor they had, they knew that was God. God was with them, and we see that they were allowed to eat the food that they had requested for the next 3 years then. They did not have to defile themselves. Remember what was also taken from these young men? They were made eunuchs. I want you to remember that. Daniel was of the kingly family of Judah, and they were told. Hezekiah was told that his descendants would be taken and they would be made eunuchs too. They were given by God. Then there would be no descendants from Daniel. Daniel has no children. There's no line of Daniel. He will never return to his homeland, his family. But nothing they could do could separate Daniel from his God. Put on your thinking cap with this. Of where you are today in your walk with the Lord. What can separate you? Make no mistake, this USA is following Judah. We have been blessed beyond any imagination. We are a nation, everyone says this. There's never been a nation like the United States. We have sent missionaries into all the corners of the world. Yes and yes. But where is the heart of this nation? Where is the heart of the pastors leading the churches today? Where is the heart of the seminary teachers, given the task to teach the Word of God to these young pastors who will lead the next generation? Close to 100 years, our seminaries have slowly brought in false teaching, mixing the Bible and now denying the Bible, I kid you not, wanting the acceptance of the world, and the gatekeepers of God's Word have given in and been captured by the world. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Never despair. God has his remnant. No matter what the world tries to do to them, they have purposed in their heart not to defile themselves. Not so, for all that has been done to Daniel has defiled him. But eating this food and drinking this wine would. And so this is my thoughts on this in verse 13. Let me read this to you again. Daniel says, then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. Daniel is saying, examine us after 10 days, and if we are worse than all the others, as you see fit, so deal with your servants. Daniel is saying here, as respectful as he knows how, I'm not defiling myself. And if you think after this 10 days, I am, then do what you must, that your life may be spared, but I'm not defiling myself. Daniel has taken a stand here. Even at the expense of my own life, these four young men took a respectful, firm stand. We see this determination in all four of them. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to keep their faith. Listen, I do believe that when Daniel said that, test us, and after 10 days, if we are not, if we don't look the way you think we should, then this is, you know, you do what you have to do. But we're going to do what we have to do. And we will see that taking a stand over this food is the thing that, if you won't take a stand in the little things, you're not going to take a stand when it comes to the lion's den. You're not going to take a stand when it comes to the fiery furnace. So you got to be standing now. Stand. Listen, all of them had determined to keep their faith in God, to stand with God. They purposed this. The loss of family, loss of home, loss of temple, loss of freedom, loss of being a man was not going to take away their faith. They were not going to go along to get along. Make no mistake, they understood that their nation had been conquered. They understood that this king and his government was not kind, but was led by an evil, ungodly pagan worshiper. Their faith was not rooted in what this government would do for them, give them, but in God Almighty. These young men were born out of the revival, I believe, of Josiah. They had put their faith in God Almighty, creator of everything. They were not going to defile themselves. They were not going to deny God. They were not going to bow to demons to live. I believe here was their first stand. You can take my life, but I'm not going to defile myself with your gods. I believe that they would have chosen death over defiling themselves. We'll see this as we go through this study. Now let's read verses 17 through 21. I'm sorry, 16 through 21. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them was none. Among them all was none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus. In verse 2 of Daniel chapter 1, remember, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all that was taken at the first siege into the king Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and kindness and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. In verse 17, it tells us that God gave them. God gave them into the hand of their captors. God gave them favor. And now God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams. This is all God's doing. In the recording of this scripture, Daniel makes clear this is God. This was a God thing. Daniel didn't rebel at being taken captured. He didn't rebel in the place that they put him. He didn't rebel when they made him a eunuch. He did not rebel in them requiring that he study these things to be of service to the king. He was like, this is God's will. This is what God has ordained. This is what God had said through the prophets would happen. And so he was obedient to God, but he took a stand where he would not bow and worship their gods in the eating of the things that had been offered to give gratitude to the false demons, to the demons that they worshiped. He refused to do that, even to the peril of his death, is what I believe, when he took the stand, because the eunuch would have had to, their life would have had to have been taken, or his life would have had to have been taken. So God gave everything God gave. In 3 years, this could not have been accomplished, but with God, all things are possible, these young men. We talk about post-traumatic stress What kind of post-traumatic stress did these young men have? But they excelled in everything because God was with them and because they were standing with God. They purposed in their heart not to defile themselves with the demons of the land. And then we see they are finally brought before the king, looking fatter and better because fat was in then and it was a good thing in appearance than all the others. In verse 20, it says, in all matters, they were in all matters of wisdom and understanding. All the king tested them in, they were 10 times better. They were 10 times better when they were tested with the food. They're 10 times better when they're tested in their mind and their understanding. Better than all the present graduates, all the graduating class. They were 10 times better. But listen, not just the graduating class, but also than all the magicians and astrologers in all his realm. That's what it says. In all his realm, they were 10 times better than the teachers. They were 10 times better than the students, 10 times better than the teachers. When God is at work, he is always better. And in verse 21, we see that Daniel watched his home captured by the Babylonians. He saw the Babylonians captured by the Darius the Mede, and Daniel was there to witness the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So we see that right here in chapter 1, it goes through the capture, God giving them over, God giving them favor, God giving them, causing them to be 10 times better. And at the close of chapter 1, verse 21, it says, thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. So at least 70 years, Daniel served these godless kings and this godless nation. Amen. Amen.